is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, and thanks for being here, part two. Not often that we have two-part series, but we thought this was the time to do it. Dan Bain, after over four decades on radio, television, and working for the News Review, retiring officially on Monday. And I heard a little earlier that you are actually counting hours down at this point.
Not officially, but yeah, that thought is there.
Yeah, it's coming so close. Have you thought ahead as to, you know, what happens like on Tuesday of next week?
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
Is it a good thing?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I'll have plenty to do. There's lots of housework to do, yard work, and then there's the golf course that's just waiting for me out there, and you know, fishing, and you know, there's plenty of things to keep me busy, I think.
So covering the news for over four decades, I've got some ideas, but I want to ask you, what are some of the stories that you covered over all those years that stand out to you, positive, negative, you know?
Well, there were a lot of really neat stories to cover, and there were some really sad ones, too. You remember the Stephanie Condon case, of course. That one went on for several years before it finally came to a conclusion, and just not too many years ago, the fire in Riddle that killed six people, you know, things like that really gnaw on you a little bit. But there's been so many fun stories over the years, too. I can think of a 75th anniversary story that I did with this couple at Riverview Terrace. And I asked the lady, so 75 years, you never thought about divorce, huh? And she said, divorce, no. Murder, yes. But you just meet so many neat people over the years, and the veteran stories have been really interesting. I've done a lot of those, and you know, veterans, I think, really appreciate the fact that you're interested in what they went through. And so many of the World War II veterans are no longer around anymore, so their information is so valuable to listen to and find out what they had to go through. So there's stories like that, and then there's kind of upbeat stories like a flashback to the old Mount Nebo goats, and you know what they meant to this area at the time. I mean, they're weather forecasting goats, and they got national and international attention, and I don't know if you were around at that time or not, but they got a lot of attention on the freeway, too, which is why they had to actually be moved away from Mount Nebo.
But I think when I lived here the first time, because we lived out by the fairgrounds on Kendall Street, I kind of remember a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And then hearing about it as I grew up, as my parents communicated with people back in Roseburg, because I left at age five. But it's funny because you talk to people that are newer in the community and people just look at you like, what?
Yeah, you probably had them in your backyard out there.
Well, I think we could see them from the house sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a fun story, though.
What about the 1996 flood?
Yeah, that one went on for a while, too. We had so much rain the month of November that year, and everything was soaked, and then we just got deluged with water coming down the river, and one night, I don't know if it was November 22nd or 23rd, somewhere close to Thanksgiving, the freeway washed out, and I was working at KPIC at the time, which is right around the corner from where the road washed out, and I got a call about 1 o'clock in the morning that said there was a truck wreck there, and so I didn't think much about it until I got out there, and there was a triple trailer upside down and a couple of other trucks wrecked, and two lanes of the freeway pretty much washed out into the South Umpqua River. And this is right before Thanksgiving vacation, too. So a couple of days or 3 days before. So I think it was Roseburg Paving at the time went to work and put the road back together and had it ready to go. But that event drew a lot of national attention, and you know, I was out there a lot the next week shooting video and sending it to national organizations and anybody that wanted it. So that was a big one. And there were a lot of other events around that. That's when the Hubbard Creek slide happened, and I think, what was it, 4 people were killed in that, I think. That was about the same time. And there were slides all over Highway 38, 138. Wherever you went, it seemed like there were landslides going on anytime you were in mountainous areas.
Well, and that time, there were somebody homes that, you know, were on hills that,
right.
Even just minor issues that people suddenly had to deal with.
Yeah, and then add the high water in the river on top of that, and there were a lot of mud flows going on at that time.
I remember backing up to the sinkhole incident, living off of Harvard, and I worked for a different company then than here, and I was heading out the door about 9 o'clock to drop one of the kids at daycare and go to work, and I had heard that there was a slide along Interstate 5 somewhere near Roseburg. Didn't think a lot about it. I didn't do news then. But I remember pulling out onto Harvard, and as I got closer to the freeway, I looked up there and I went, why is a satellite truck from Portland sitting on the freeway? What on earth is going on? And, you know, it went from there. And I went around to the Templin Beach area and got a look at it. But, I mean, that was quite a shocker.
Yeah, and it happened, fortunately, in the middle of the night where there wasn't a whole lot of traffic going through at the time. It was the next day, if that had happened, it might have washed some cars out in the middle of the river at the same time. So they were really pretty fortunate that nobody was killed in that. One person was injured, and that was it. So they were real fortunate.
What about covering the ups and downs of the economy here? We've had some of both.
Yeah, we've gone through times where the timber industry especially was really hopping, and then a few years later the market goes down and the unemployment goes up. And but there have been a lot of ups and downs. When I first came to Roseburg in 1974, the gas crisis was going on, and you had to get in line to get gas at that time. And I think the state was, if you had an even number on your license plate, you were one day, and odd number the other day. So that was my welcome to Roseburg. When I lived in La Grande, we never had trouble getting it. It was just about 50 cents a gallon higher, but we never had trouble getting gas. But when you got here, there were lines all the time during that first month or so that I was in Roseburg.
Were there, when you look at some of the stories, what were some of the harder ones to cover?
Oh, I think ones like the Stephanie Condon case, where a missing girl from Riddle hadn't been found for a long time, and you just felt so bad for the family. And I mentioned that fire in Riddle also, where 6 people died from the same family. And stories like that, those are really tough ones to see.
Covering the news is sometimes like being a doctor, because you can hear about something, you can get a phone call, get a text at just about any hour. How did you deal with that? How have you dealt with that in radio, TV, and the newspaper?
I just always felt like if the first responders felt it was important enough to call me in the middle of the night, it was important enough for me to go check it out. And so I'd always get up and go and figure I'd catch up on the sleep some other week or so whatever I had to do.
Depending on which place you were working at, did that involve like taking gear home with you so you had it?
Yeah, I did. When I was at TV, I usually had it with me at home so I could just take off right from there. And, you know, most of the time on fires, the flames are out by the time you get there, but that doesn't make good video for TV. So if you can get there when the flames are still going, it shows, you know, what's going on a lot better.
Going to take a break. More with Dan Bain when we come back. Part 2 of our series, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. It's part 2 of our interview with Dan Bain, retiring on Monday after over 4 decades on KQEN, on KPIC-TV, and with the News Review. Sometimes news happens and you happen to just about be right there.
Yeah, and maybe part of it.
Talk about the Roseburg High School shooting a number of years ago.
Yeah, my daughter was in high school at the time, and I had just dropped her off that morning right there in the commons area where you walk through to go to class, and dozens of kids out there in that area. And I just got back to the KPIC studios, which is like a quarter of a mile away, so practically right across the street. And just heard on the scanner shots fired at Roseburg High School and right where I just dropped her off. So that shakes you up a little bit to start with right there. But fortunately, she'd walked on through and gone right to class. We were, you know, every time I talked to somebody, there was another connection. My daughter's best friend, his mom is a dispatcher, and her dad was a Roseburg police officer, so they were both involved in it. And one of the kids that she knew was one of them that chased the shooter down the street, and so it was pretty personal that day.
Wow. So you've interviewed a lot of people. You mentioned veterans being real interesting. What are some of the other interesting people that you've interviewed over the years for various news stories?
Well, there's been a lot of sports celebrities that I've run into over the years, and Sparky Anderson was one. He was here for the American Legion World Series one year, and he was the manager of the Detroit Tigers and I think Oakland A's and several other major league teams. And Billy Martin, who a lot of people remember, played baseball for the New York Yankees and was the manager, and I got to interview him in New Orleans when the Roseburg American Legion team went to the World Series in 1984, and I think he'd been fired by George Steinbrenner about the fifth time he'd been fired by George, and kept hiring him back, and so I got to talk to him for a little while. And another American Legion World Series I went to, Bob Feller was the guest speaker, and so I got to visit with him. He was at the World Series here in Roseburg and also at one in Yakima, and I got to see him twice. And he was a Hall of Famer, so he was a big-time baseball player. And there are a lot of other, met, of course, Marcus Mariota when he was at the Josh Bidwell tournament here a few years ago. I forget his name now, but the kid from Oregon that was the Olympic hurdler, Devin Allen, I think it was. Anyway, he and I played golf together in that tournament, and he was just a delight to be around, and just he was recovering from an injury, and he was hoping he'd be back in time to try out for the Olympics, and he made it and got to go to Brazil. So that was a pretty cool thing.
There also have been kids that you watched play sports here that went on to achieve some pretty big things.
Yeah, I can never forget the first time I saw Troy Polamalu playing as a freshman. I think he scored 4 touchdowns in the first game he ever played, and he just got better and better from there. And he was just about as good a baseball player. In fact, I think he could have played college baseball at University of Southern California when he went there, but it didn't work out for him, so he had to settle for football, and now he's a Hall of Famer.
What about some of the other kids that have played sports from around here that have achieved greatness?
Oh, there are quite a few of them. Josh Bidwell was one. He made the National Football League as a punter and made the All-Star team and played in the All-Star game one year. Let's see, some of the others. There's been a lot of baseball players from here that have gone on and played college baseball, which has been fun to watch. And I'm sure others, too, that I can't remember right now. But
what about when you're out covering the news for whichever organization? when, because we have Interstate 5 going through town, random well-known people just happen to pop up. Do you ever, did you ever get to run into any of them?
No, I've heard a lot about them, like Lady Gaga coming through town, and people would say, oh, I met so-and-so famous musician, and yeah, but I never really ran into, but I did run into some cool people out at the fair a few times. Charlie Daniels was a hoot to talk to. He was just a good old boy, and I loved talking to him. There was a Nitty Gritty Dirt Band was here, and I don't remember the names of the guys, but one of the guys was just a farm boy, and we walked around the fair together for a while and talked about John Deere tractors. So, you know, that's been fun over the years, too. I've met a lot of the people at the fair that had entertained there, and good people.
What about, now not everybody has always connected this over the years because of the names, but your wife is Flyaway Travel, Jane Green.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet?
Well, I was doing the morning shift at KQEN, and she started doing a travel show from Flyaway Travel when it was located in the Garden Valley Shopping Center at that time, back in late 70s when she started it. And she was doing a travel show like she does on the radio here, I guess, now. And so she'd come out on, I think, Monday mornings and do a 5-minute program and talk about travel. And so when she started bringing me donuts, it got serious.
Was that what started to win you over?
There it was, right there. And so we started dating, and eventually we ended up getting married in Fiji, which was another story.
Why Fiji?
Well, it was her idea. She came to me and said, if we can get married in Fiji, would you want to do it? And I said, well, that's the proposal every guy wants to hear. So we tried it, and we flew to Fiji, and it was an experience. We had to take a cab from the airport, like 120 kilometers to get to the capital city, and that was the only place you could get a marriage license. And so we went into this little place that was primitive, I guess would be a good word for it, because they had no typewriters, no computers. It was just, everything was handwritten. So they had a note on the door that said, marriage licenses, $11, but you have to wait 2 weeks. If you want it right away, you have to pay $15. So it was $4 extra. So I splurged and got the marriage license, and we got married on the cruise on one of the little islands off the coast of one of the main islands in Fiji.
You know, yesterday we talked about some of the people, especially at KPIC, that you saw come through there. And I connected yesterday with Brandy Smith. It was Brandy Beavers then, who grew up in the area, and her family's at Henry Estate Winery. One of her comments, she wasn't available to jump on with us, but she said at UCC she was studying print journalism, which was a different kind of storytelling than TV. And when she started at KPIC, you would always say, Brandy, this isn't the newspaper.
It's a different style, for sure. You can't write the same way.
Well, she wondered if anybody had told you, Dan, this isn't TV, when you started at the News Review.
They've said that, yes.
And she also said one of her first training shoots was the Timber Truckers Light Parade in Myrtle Creek. And she said that you were really a great teacher, helping her learn how to get those shots.
Well, she was a bright girl. I mean, I think she started with us when she was 17. So she was still in high school, and she is so smart. She picked it up in no time at all. And you can see that she made it big, and I think in the Houston market now.
Right. And she said there is 0% chance she would be in Houston if it wasn't for you, because you were a great teacher.
That's kind of her, but I think she would have made it anyway.
About 30 seconds left. So what's ahead? A lot of people don't think you're really going to retire.
No, I think I am. And if my wife's listening, I really am going to retire.
Yeah, she's been asking periodically when she comes through. I've noticed that.
This has been a good ride. I've had a lot of fun over the years.
So what kinds of things are you going to be doing?
Well, I do want to play a little more golf and get out. And I've got my Pioneer fishing license now, so I want to do that. And maybe take a few road trips. here and there, too, in eastern Oregon.
All right, Dan Bain, over four decades, radio, television, newspaper, public relations, all in Roseburg. All right, Dan, let's see. The rest of today, are you working this weekend?
No, but Monday will be it. Monday's the last day.
All right, thanks for being on.
You bet.
1258 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.